Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Share. We are learning this evening, as always, Lilui Nishmasan Lezecha Nishmasan, Miriam Frund, Alaha Hashalom, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak. May her neshama have a continuous aliyah in the merit of this Torah learning and in the merit of her family's dedication to being Marbitzei Torah, to bring many schosim to her neshama, as well as Besoros Tovos and Simchos to her family. So we are continuing to learn about love, Ahavas Hashem. We've been learning about it for a while, and the Mechaber, the author, continues that. We are learning about unconditional love. If you recall last time, we spoke about the love of the external limbs, the love of the internal organs, and then the love of the neshama, the deepest level, which is the love of the soul. Okay, so I'm on page 224, and I will... Before I get even into the Sefer, being that it is Elul, and we have two Shabbosos before the Yom HaDin, this week is Kisavo, and the next week is Nitzavim Vayelech, and then we are Be'ezros Hashem, Atav Shin Pei Aleph. So I was looking through this book. Specifically, I picked up the Sefer in order to see if there was anything in here. There are many, many beautiful insights, but I take it out usually by Elul time and Tishrei, days of awe, days of joy, different Divrei Torah on Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkos. Excuse me, from TorahWeb.org, different YU Rosh Yeshivas, Amagide Shir, etc. So I opened up to an article by Rav Meir Tversky Shlita. Rav Meir Tversky is a grandson, he's a Rosh Yeshiva at YU, a grandson of Rav Salvechik. Rav Meir Tversky's brother was Rav Moshe Tversky, Hashem Yunkom Damo, Zecher Tzadiv Kaddish Levracha, one of the Harnof Kedoshim. Rav Moshe Tversky was a Gaon Olam. So Rav Meir Tversky Shlita, he's talking about teshuvah. It's actually a Dvar Torah on Sukkos, but you will see that it's related to our class. So I know I'm jumping ahead of things. We're not even in Tishrei yet, but you will see that the piece that I chose to share with you just puts us in the mood of Elul, and it relates directly to this class in terms of the fact that we are speaking about, learning about, I should say, Ahavas Hashem. So it's called, the title is called Sukkos, A Time for Teshuvah by Rav Meir Tversky Shlita. So forgive the introduction. With Elul and the Yomim Noraim behind us. I know. Elul behind us, Yomim Noraim behind us. We're not there just yet. We are ready to shift focus. For the 40 days of Elul through Yom Kippurim, 40 days, the focus was on Teshuvah. Cheshbon HaNefesh, an accounting of the soul. And Teshuvah, repentance, have been the mitzvos hayom, the command, the topic, the theme of these 40 days, which we're in right now, from Rosh Chodesh Elul, through Rosh Hashanah, through the Aser Simei Teshuvah, through Yom Kippurim. So the time of this year is a Cheshbon HaNefesh, an accounting of the soul, Teshuvah, repentance, and these are mitzvos hayom. Now we're ready for change. And again, he's speaking about Sukkos. Oh, Susan and I were just talking about Sukkos, actually. So Susan, he's speaking about Sukkos. What are the mitzvos hayom as we move forward from these 40 days of Teshuvah into Sukkos? And he says one of the mitzvos hayom of Sukkos might surprise you. It is Teshuvah. The days after Yom Kippur, writes Rav Meir Tversky Shlita, he was my brother's rabbi actually, is in fact an optimal time for teshuva. Generally, we don't think that. We think when we finish Yom Kippur, we're on to the next. And the theme of Sukkos is really simcha. Only in regard to Sukkos are we commanded a double lashon, a double language of rejoicing. And not in regard to Pesach, and not in regard to Shavuot. So usually when we think of Sukkos, we think of joy or rejoicing. But Rav Meir Tversky says, no, actually, Sukkos is a time for Teshuvah. Two perspectives will help us understand this surprising answer. The first perspective is provided by the Maharsha. The Gemara at the end of Maseches Megillah teaches, Moshe Rabbeinu instituted, we should study the halachos of each Yom Tov on that Yom Tov. So we study the halachos of Pesach, Chametz, Matzah, Korban Pesach, Maror, we study that on Pesach. We study the halachos of Shavuos on Shavuos. We study the halachos of Sukkos on Sukkos. The Maharsha comments on the omission of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur from the list of Yomim Tovim. What do we study on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? He explains Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are not mentioned because the dominant mitzvah of these days is Teshuvah. So why not mention Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur in regard to Teshuvah? The Maharsha says, and Rav Meir Tversky puts it in capital letters, it is always capitalized, a mitzvah to do Teshuvah. Teshuvah is a mitzvah that we must Always do. Not only in 40 days, not when we come to Rosh Chodesh Elul and then we are still trembling with David Hashem or V'yishi, shifty, beveis Hashem, shifty, from the root word teshuvah. Oh, now I want to do teshuvah so I could sit in the house of God all the days of my life. Starting from the third set of 40 days when Moses went up, so I begin Rosh Chodesh Elul, and then I finish Yom Kippur, I wash my hands, goodbye teshuvah, see you next year. No one thinks that I mean that's correct. That's totally incorrect. Okay? The Maharshal explains that the theme of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is teshuvah, but it is always a mitzvah to do teshuvah. The mitzvahs of chametz, matzah, korban pesach, that's limited to pesach. Shtei halachim, shavuos, arba minim, sukkos, shofar, Rosh Hashanah. Hence, there's a special obligation to study those halachos related to those kiyumei hamitzvos, on those chagim, on those yamim tovim. But the mitzvah of teshuvah, repentance, return, is perennial. When you have flowers in the garden, you either have perennials or annuals. Annuals, an example of an annual is a begonia. An example of an annual is a, help me out, impatient, or a New Guinea impatient. An example of a perennial is a tulip, a rose, a hydrangea, hosta, Rose of Sharon. These are perennials. What does it mean? They come back every year. They're constant. You plant the bulb and they're always there. That's what teshuva is supposed to be. You plant the bulb of teshuva in you. It's not something you should think about 40 days of the year. What about all the other days of the year? Is teshuva relevant in Kislev? The answer is yes. Teshuva is, it's a mitzvah and it is perennial. And hence our preoccupation with teshuva ought to be constant. Tamid. Accordingly, the days after Yom Kippur, as are all the days of the year, are time for teshuvah. And therefore, one of the themes of Sukkos is, in fact, teshuvah. It is difficult. Oh, so listen to his next sentence. Listen to these next couple of sentences. Omer Tversky Shlita writes, it is difficult to exaggerate the importance of this perspective. It is difficult to drive home how important it is to have the perspective that teshuva is a constant mitzvah. It's funny because someone a couple classes ago mentioned, I don't remember who it was, please forgive me, that Ahavas Hashem is one of the mitzvos tmidios, constant six mitzvos. And in preparing tonight's shiur, I thought I had this book at home. It's the book called Constant Connection. But what's even more interesting is I received it from the Amein group as a gift after I spoke there. I labeled it inside Elul 5776. Now we're Elul 5780. 4 years ago, and you know what it's based on? The teachings of Rav Noach Weinberg. So if you've been following my shiurim over the past couple weeks, whose teachings do I keep incorporating? Rav Noach Weinberg. Here we go. I went to pick up Constant Connection. It's based on, okay, Mansi, this is based on the founder, Rosh Hashiva, of Esh HaTorah. And one of the constant mitzvos is Ahavas Hashem. It is well, Rameer Twersky says one of the constant mitzvos, not of the six constant, one of the constant mitzvos is teshuvah, to return unto God. It is difficult to exaggerate the importance of this perspective. I am not sure how much we think about teshuvah during the year between Motzei Yom Kippur and the following Rosh Chodesh Elul. Shabbos we always think about. Taras HaMishpacha we think about. Kashrus. We always think about. Tefillah, we always think about. But is teshuvah a mitzvah that we think about for 40 days and then we say goodbye? It's Yod Aleph Tishrei, Yom Kippur is over, teshuvah, I'll see you next Elul. Rav Tversky writes, I'm not sure how much we think about teshuvah between Motzei Yom Kippur and Rosh Chodesh Elul. I am, however, sure about one thing. We do not think enough about teshuvah. So even though he starts with this is a Dvar Torah for Sukkos, it's relevant for always. The Mesilas Yesharim recommends, the Ramchal, a person should make a chashbon nefesh, an accounting, a tally of the soul every day. Considering, says Rav Tversky, the following mashal, if the captain of a ship checks the ship's course daily, it will not veer too far, of course, because you check the ship's course daily. But if he neglects to check daily, the ship will veer very far off course. And of course, correction to get it back on course becomes very, very, very difficult. If you only check once every 6 months to see where the ship is going, you could imagine where the ship will be. And it's going to be really hard to get it back on course. But if you check every day, it's much easier to rerouting. So that's the nimshel for a human being. If I check myself once a year for 40 days, And then I am neglecting that cheshbon and nefesh, that process of teshuva, repentance, repair, revisiting, resitting in the house of God. And could you imagine if I haven't thought about teshuva from Motzei Yom Kippur, and I come to the next Rosh Chodesh Elul, 11, 12 months later, how far is my ship off course? It's a much harder avoda to come back to the Ribono Shel Olam if I have veered so far off course. So this is Rav Twersky, and right now he's quoting the Maseilas Yesharim. The analog to this mashal and its relevance to our lives is obvious. He doesn't even give you the nimshal. He says it's obvious. Obvious nimshal is if you're too off course, it's going to be much harder. It's not impossible. Bala Maisa, it's harder to come back. If you allowed yourself to slip so far. And therefore, teshuva and cheshbon hanefesh are perennial, not seasonal. So remember how he started. He started by saying, what's one of the mitzvahs of Sukkos? Surprisingly, we would say sukkah, arba minim, ushpizin, hachnasas orchem. No, you know what's one of the mitzvahs of Sukkos? Teshuva. Because the message is that you must carry this theme, this 40 days that we're engaged in right now. We have to make sure that we make this a constant connection in our lives. If I really love the Ribono Shel Olam, then I don't want my ship to go so off course, because where am I going to be? There is a second perspective as well. Continuing, one more paragraph of Tversky. This latter perspective is expounded upon in Sifrei Chasidus. And it's so interesting, you know, I say it many times, I can't believe how Hashem directs my shiurim and helps me prepare. And sometimes I go for a source, not even knowing what I'm looking for. And like, I can't believe how this is exactly what I was looking for. Not even realizing. Because now he's going to talk about two different types of teshuva. And where do you think he's going to go based on our shir? Teshuva mi yira and teshuva me ahava. We spent months talking about Yiras Hashem, and now we're talking about Ahavas Hashem. In the concluding paragraph here, let's just know that even though teshuvah is a constant mitzvah, there are different applications, or I should say expressions of teshuvah. So here we go. Sukkos in particular is a time for teshuvah me ahava. Sukkos is a time of simcha. Sukkos is a time when we leave your house of brick and stone where you think you're so safe, and you go into a temporary dwelling, and you realize that we only find safety in the shelter of the Ribono Shel Olam. The Zohar calls the Sukkah Tzila de Meiminusa, the shelter of faith, because it's there that we have true amuna. Hashem gives us protection. And Sukkah is also Zman Simchasenu. And during this time of Simcha and amuna, we should be engaged in Teshuvah. But what kind of Teshuvah? Teshuvah Me'ahava. What does that mean? Repentance motivated by love. Not because I'm afraid of punishment. Not because I don't want to go to Gehenna, which we don't want to go. Not which we are afraid of punishment. Not because I want to get a check mark and not an X. Not because I'm afraid I'm going to get in trouble. Because I want to please Hashem. Because I love Hashem. V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha. How beautifully this relates to all of our learning. The teshuva of the yamim no ra'im. Yamim, days, no ra'im. Awesome. Pachad. Fear. The king is in the field. Who does not tremble when the lion roars? Ariyesha Ag Milo Yira. When the lion roars, who will not be afraid? Arye, famous acronym. Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hoshana Rabbah. So the teshuva of Elul, and we're very soon in Rosh Hashanah again. We have Kitisa and Itzavim Vayelech, and we're already Be'ezros Hashem and Tafshim Pei Aleph. This is a teshuva miyira. Because, like, I should be shaking a little, you know? If I didn't get it right the whole year, Nebuch, because, I haven't thought of Teshuvah since last Moshe Yom Kippur, so now I'm afraid. My ship is so far off course, so what am I going to do? I've veered so far, I had so much hard of voted to get it back, and I'm scared. If I don't get the ship off course, it could be lost in the Bermuda Triangle. It could sink. What am I going to do? Pirates could take me over. I have to get back to where I'm supposed to be. Because sullied by our sins, tarnished, dirty, his grandfather of Salvechik says that chait does not mean sin. Chait means I failed. We had a nisayon before us. Speak Lashon Hara, don't be speak Lashon Hara. Just using it as an example, fill in the blanks. Benjamin, I don't want to say that. Okay, speak clear Aveira. And I didn't make time for tefillah in the morning, or don't make time for tefillah. I'm not talking about extenuating circumstances. I'm not talking about in the hospital. I'm not talking about when someone's sick. But darach klal. And we find a million other things that we all of a sudden have time for. We don't have time for tefillah. So Rav Salvechik, Meir Tversky's grandfather, Zatzal, Meir Tversky Shlita's grandfather, Zatzal, explains that chay means, chatasi means, when we say chatasi, avisi, pashati, lefanecha, achay chachatanu, it means I failed, Ribono Shel Olam. So the teshuva that we are currently engaged in is most likely inspired by the sullenness, is that a word? Sullied by our sins, by our tarnishment, is that a word? We have become dirty. And so we have awe and dread because Yom HaDin is coming. Yom HaDin, exactly what it sounds like. It's a judgment day. Aryeh Sha'ag, the days are coming when the lion roars. It's Elo. Rosh Hashanah is almost upon us. Yom Kippur, also singly, it also stands for the Aser Simei Teshuvah and Hoshana Rabbah. Aryeh could be Elo, Rosh Hashanah, Aser Simei Teshuvah Yud, and HaKippurim. And it's motivated by fear, by awe, by dread. But come Yom Kippur. Rav Salavitchik says about Yom Kippur, Itzumo shel yom mechaper. The day itself gives you atonement. The essence of the day is a day of cleansing. It automatically cleanses, just like Shabbos automatically brings menucha, and Purim automatically brings simcha, and Tisha B'Av automatically brings mourning. Yom Kippur brings kapara. The day itself, itzumo, etzem, the essence of the day is a day of cleansing, atonement. So after we have been granted atonement by Kodesh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur, we are in a newly attained state of what? Tahara. What does Rabbi Akiva say? What does Rabbi Akiva say? Many things. The very last Mishnah, Maseches Yuma. Yuma Perchas Mishnah Tes. How does the Maseches Yuma end? Amar Rabbi Akiva Ashrecham Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva says, end of Maseches Yuma. Ches Prokim. Eight chapters. And what does the Mishnah say? Rabbi Akiva says, Ashrecham Yisrael, fortunate are you, O Israel. Mi metahar eschem, who purifies you? Avicham shebashamayim. Hashem is the mikveh, the cleansing pool of tahara. Like mikvah, the cleansing pool that brings tahara to Am Yisrael. Our Father in Heaven grants us atonement on Yom Kippur. So after Yom Kippur, when we are granted atonement, we are no longer in a state of dread. We are no longer in a state of fear. We no longer have the pacha because we're reborn. So now, teshuvah is still relevant because we have already learned that teshuvah is a mitzvah tmidios. It's a perennial mitzvah. You planted the bulb of the tulip, it's going to come back every year. The hydrangeas will blossom every year. The rose bushes will blossom every year. The rose of Sharon every year. The lilacs every year. My favorite smelling flower is... I'll come to me soon. It's low on the ground. And when it blossoms in the spring, I make sure to bend down at least a couple of times to smell it. Dark purple, white, pink. I'm not going to take the time not to try and remember. I named a few flowers already. You plant the bulb of teshuva, it's always in you. But the character or the tone of the teshuva changes. So after the cleansing of Yom HaKippurim, we come to Sukkos. And teshuva still applies, but what kind of teshuva is it now? Not teshuva meyira. Having been granted atonement by Kodesh Baruch Hu on Yom Kippur, we are in a newly attained state of tahara. Mi metahar eschem ashrecham Yisrael, v'lefnei mi atem metaharim, v'lefnei avichem shebashamayim. And therefore we have an enhanced capacity for teshuva me'ahava. That's teshuva me'ava, to return, teshuva, lashuv, to return unto God from what? Not from fear, but from love. Love, because I love you, Hashem. And all that is represented in the sukkah. A teshuva inspired, quote, by love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May we merit, this is how he ends this piece, to be chozer b'teshuva shlema, we shall all be chozer b'teshuva, to return in complete repentance, lefanav, before him, me'ahava, with love. So I thought, yes, it's a Dvar Torah in Sukkos, we should all be zechut to remember by the time we get to Sukkos. However, I thought it was extremely interesting because it's really what we're speaking about. The duality in our avodas Hashem between these two interplays. On the one hand, pachar and yira, Malkeinu, Joanna, where is she? Malkeinu. And on the other hand, returning unto God, me'ahava, love. And that is symbolized in two different approaches to teshuva. The mitzvahs for the whole year. I shouldn't come to Elo and say, now I'm starting. It's a disaster. The ship's off course. It's almost sinking. a whole year. But it's motivated by a different perspective if you love God. And I just want to show you something very, very beautiful. I just have to find it. If you bear with me for 1 second. Okay, I want to find something that I want to show you. A quote by Rav Soloveitchik of Meir Twersky's grandfather. Okay. I'm just going to read. I'm not going to put on screen share. Just, I could see a few people. Joanna, Susan, Nancy, I could see you. Wait, can you see me? Even though I pulled up a different document on my screen? Okay, so it's just one paragraph. So I'm not going to start screen sharing for one paragraph, but I'm just going to end this introduction, or I don't know, I guess first half of our shir, with a quote by Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik teaches that, quote, man is basically a homeless being. Homeless. We see homeless people in the street, Rahman al-Islam. We think they're homeless. I'm not. It's not true. We're all homeless. No matter how large and opulent is his home, man is exposed. He is subject to the vicissitudes of life. He is subject to nature, which at best is indifferent to man, and at worst is hostile. A man is subject to an inscrutable future. There is only one home, and I think this relates beautifully to the idea of Sukkos and returning to Hashem Me'ahava. And perhaps we don't have to wait till Sukkos if we keep the boat on course. You don't have to wait to be motivated by love of God to do Teshuvah Me'ahava if you kept the boat on course. There is only one home where man gains security, in God. God is called a me'ona, an abode. The only home where man can find security is in the Ribono Sha'olam, in the Master of the world. And that's the message of Sukkos. I'm going to repeat it. Man is basically a homeless being. No matter how large and opulent his home, he is exposed. Man is subject to the vicissitudes of life, subject to nature, which at best is indifferent to man. At worst, nature is hostile to man. Man is subject to an inscrutable future. There is only one home where man gains security, God. And God is called the me'ona, an abode. The only home where man can find security is in the Ribono Sha'olam, in the Master of the world. And that leads to a simcha of Sukkos, because that's the topic of Sukkos, but it also leads to a perspective of life, which is a simcha that stems from ahava. So like Rabbi Twersky ends, Rav Twersky ends, and he says, I close there, may we merit to be chozer b'teshuvah shleima lefanav me'ahava, not only on Sukkos, but to reach the exalted level where we're so overcome by love for Hashem that we want to please Him in the best way possible, motivated by feelings of love. So it does, of course, relate to Inyani Dioma, the Inyani Dioma Arteshuva. It relates to everything we've been studying in the Sefer, the interplay between Yira and Ahava, and it also relates to the Yamim Noraim. So there were two comments, so before I continue, I want to see. Okay, that's very nice. So Nancy says, since Hyacinth. Is Hyacinth? I think it might be the Hyacinth. Those, they smell amazing. Yes? So Nancy said it's so hyacinth. 1 second. Yeah, it's a hyacinth. Thank you so much. Who said it? Chada. Yeah. Thumbs up. Thank you. Correct. One of my favorite. Have you ever smelled it? Next spring, make sure to go down with the Vayu should be in Yerushalayim and smell the hyacinth. So Nancy says that 2020 is so unique, it's more natural for me to think about Teshuvah on a daily basis, which is a very interesting comment, because I know someone not observant who has started to listen to my Shirim Awayu Torah now during this pandemic, and she's in touch with me with feedback, and not observant, and no background, and she said she's thinking about things since the beginning of the pandemic that she never thought about before. She's asking questions and she's looking for answers in terms of things that she's never thought about before. And it's truly an amazing thing. So you're right, Nancy. It does make us much more thoughtful about perhaps Teshuvah and also about God on a daily basis. Yes, it was a hyacinth. Thank you. Third comment. Eating in the sukkah is like spending a week in Hashem's house. That's absolutely correct. Not only that, we invite the Ushpizin to come dwell with us. Remember Avram Ohavi. Avram is called Avram, my beloved. So we bring the Ahava of Avram Avinu into the Sukkah, and it's something that should motivate us to come back to the Ribono Shel Me'ahava, not only and not limited to Yira. Of course, we need Yira. I'm not saying right off the Malkeinu part. But we need the balance between Ahava and Yira. It's interesting because I heard a shir by Rabbi Zev Leff, and he was talking about that today. I think this relates to this idea of Ahava and Yira. That today everyone wants everything only besimcha, which is nice, except that we only want it easy, 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 fast, fast, fast results. And we don't contemplate that there's another way of, there's another part of life. And that's the difficult part of life. We want things to come so easy and so quickly without it doing any work. And you could say that we only want the Ahava without the Yira. So yes, we need both, but we need to know how to balance them out. Okay, I'm going into the Sefer now. Okay, I didn't see any more comments, so let us go into the Sefer. The last thing we spoke about, remember, there's different loves of Hashem. There's love of the external organs to Hashem. There's love of the internal organs to Hashem. And then there is the heart, the spleen, the liver. And then there is the most internal, hidden component of man, which is the most spiritual part of man, which is the neshama. And then in there, in that hidden part, there's also a love of Hashem. When you sense your neshama and you feel attached to it, you can reach unconditional love. Nothing is constant in this world. Right? At one time you are here, at another time you are elsewhere. At one time you are attached to something, at another time separate from it. It's so true. Everything we thought was constant in our lives, this pandemic has showed us what truly is a constant in our lives, besides for Torah and mitzvos. Things that you think are guaranteed, jobs that a person thinks are absolutely essential, the way of life that you think can never be negotiated. What is constant in life? Nothing is constant in this world. Besides for constant connection. That's constant. Other than that, everything is fleeting. Things come and they go. At one time you're here, another time you're somewhere else. At one time you're attached to something, at another time you're separate from it. For a time a son is with his father, later the father passes on. There are connections in this world, but all connections are temporary. By definition, anything that is temporary is conditional. By definition, any love that will eventually cease is conditional love. So if the love is based on something temporal in this world, when that thing ceases to be, so the love ceases to be, we might love the house that you live in. Remember if Noah Weinberg said, don't talk like that. Don't say, I'm so tired. Say rather, I need a nap. We shouldn't talk about gashmistic things if they're part of our essence. But you could say you really love where you live. But then you move and you got you downsized to a condominium or your zocha to make aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. And then did you really love your house? What happened? You loved living there so much. You loved the experiences and the growth and your family and the mitzvos and the kihila. You loved the house. It was a house. You left the house. Like we quoted the piece from Rav Salvechik, where does man find security anyway? So everything temporary in this world is conditional. And conditional love will cease because by definition it's conditional. The Sfarim HaKadoshim write, the holy books write, but in Gan Eden, in the next world, in the Garden of Eden, there is no concept of father and son. Why? Because the parent-child relationship that we recognize is based on bodies. When the neshama, it eventually detaches from all bodily feeling, there's no father-son relationship between those two souls anymore, because ultimately we're all the son or the child of the neshama is a part of the Ribono Shel Olam. So even that relationship is something of this world. True love is beyond this world. Love in this world is conditional, and therefore love in this world is limited. So I would tell you before I go into the next piece, I don't know if anyone has the Sefer in front of you or not. I find this part a little bit difficult, what he's about to say. He's going to talk about certain interpersonal relationships that he says can sort of come and go. I'm not sure. True love is beyond this world. Love in this world is conditional and therefore limited. It lasts for a time and then it disappears. It may last for a long time, it may last for a short time, but in the end, it is a divine decree, quoting the Gemara Maseches Pesachim, the deceased must be forgotten from the heart. This holds true even with the strong love of a parent, child, and husband, wife. After a year, the strong feeling dissipates. I don't know, do we agree with that? I mean, who am I to say I don't agree? I don't know. Member of Shai Shechter once told me about certain difficult pieces in this book. You don't have to dwell on them. Just read them and just go through them. Throughout the entire 22-year period during which sorry, throughout the entire 22-year period during which Yosef HaTzadik, Joseph the Righteous, was in Egypt. Yaakov, his father, thought he died. He did not forget Yosef. At the end of Perek Lamed Zayin, Bereishis, all of his sons and all of his daughters get up to comfort him. He refuses to be comforted. And he says, I will go down to the grave. Ki ered al bini aval sheola. I will go down to the grave mourning for my son. He refuses to be comforted. Why? Because Chazal say you don't accept tanchumim, comfort, over a person who is alive. So deep down, Yaakov had a sense that maybe Yosef wasn't dead. What is the proof that Yosef was dead? The family of Aron Shaul. Aron Shaul was captured along with Hadar Golden during Mivtza Tzok Eitan, summer 2014, in the aftermath of the three boys' kidnapping and murder and the war that was launched. And the State of Israel declared Oran Shaul and Hadar Golden killed in action, place of burial unknown. Their bodies were never returned. And the family of Oran Shaul has or had, I haven't seen it recently in the news, 6 years. No body. No one should ever know from such things. But I saw a quote, a comment from his brother a little while ago, and he said, what gave the State of Israel right to declare my brother dead? They found my brother's helmet. There was a bullet hole in the helmet. An evidence of a bullet hole in a helmet, you can declare a death. In other words, Yaakov Avinu didn't believe deep down he knew that Yosef was alive. So he didn't accept nechama. He couldn't move on because he knew his child was alive and had not passed. Had he been dead, so this is what the Mechaber writes. So I don't like it, but I'm just reading it, okay? Had Yosef been dead, he would have been forgotten. I don't agree. Is that Shani who goes by the name iPhone? Yeah, Shani. So Shani says there's no closure. It's such a painful concept. So I think of... I don't know, Eli Cohn, who was hung by the Syrians, and Ron Arad, the early 1980s. I don't know. It's Nisyonos that we should never fathom, and no one in Knesset Yisrael should ever know. The Mechaber is trying to say that a person can actually forget. Yosef would have been forgotten, had Yaakov would have known that he was died. I don't exactly understand what that means. Forgotten? I don't know. Even the strongest love known in this world eventually ceases. After a wife dies, the husband can remarry. After the husband dies, the wife can remarry. I don't think that the strongest love in this world is between spouses. I think that the strongest love in this world is between parent and child and Rabbi and Talmud. Because v'shinantam v'venecha v'dibarta b'am, teach it to your children and speak in them. And we're speaking about a Rabbi Talmud. So the love between a Rabbi and a Talmud is not a love that ceases, just like the love between a parent and a child. Hold on a second. Right, so do family connections still remain in the next world? I don't know. I said before I started this, I'm not so sure that I'm exactly comfortable with what he's saying, but okay. The bond then is not absolute. So the fact that a bond between a husband and wife is not absolute, I mean, I could have told you that. We just had it in the parasha last week. That if a man marries a woman and, you know, he can give her a divorce. That's in the Torah. I don't know how we could say that the love, the strongest love in the world, which is absolute, is the bond between the husband and the wife. And even that is not absolute. I don't know. The nature of this world does not allow for real unconditional love. Oh, sorry. 1 second. There's a comment. Okay, Malky Feldman, I needed to retype that because I don't know what you're trying to say. Please. There's some typos. No, really, I don't know. I'm not sure what that says. In fact, just to rebut this piece, okay, the author is saying the strongest connection in the world is between a husband and wife. And even that ceases because after one of the partner's spouse dies, the other spouse remarries. Lo tov heyos adam levado. After Sarah died, Avram Avinu took Keturah. So I don't think that's a surprise that love can be cut off, because even in life, sometimes the love between husband and wife is not forever. And furthermore, I don't know how we could say that the love between a husband and wife is the strongest love in the world. I don't see that that's, just from what we see, I don't see that that's correct. One second. So, this is brought down in the biography of Aryeh Levine at Tzaddik in our time. No volume? You can't hear me? Someone just wrote no volume. Can you hear me? Yes or no? Nod. Yes? Okay, so to the person who said no volume, I think it must be from your end. I don't know what happened, but everyone else is saying they could hear me. I don't know. So this is brought down in the Sefer Tzaddik in our time, Simcha Raz, about Rav Aryeh Levine Zatzal, who was a Tzaddik in his time. He was known as the father of the prisoners. So this also relates to sin, actually. We started off talking about Teshuvah. So this is very nice. When somebody becomes bar mitzvah, we say they are a bar mitzvah. Bar in Aramaic means son. Beis Reish is the Aramaic for son. And when someone becomes, a woman becomes of age, we call her a bat or bas mitzvah. Bat or bas means daughter. So when we talk about someone's connection to mitzvah, bar mitzvah, what you're saying is they are a son of mitzvos. Bat mitzvah, she's a daughter of mitzvos. When it comes to Avera, we call someone a Baal Avera. What does Baal mean? Baal means an owner, or Baal means a husband. When it comes to our relationship to mitzvos, you say you're the son or daughter of a mitzvah. When we say someone that became bar mitzvah, what we're really saying is they are now the son of mitzvos, or bat mitzvah, daughter of mitzvos. And when you talk about someone's relationship to Averos, you say they are a Baal Avera, which means one of two things, an owner of an Avera or a husband of an Avera. So how do we understand these two different terms? Rav Aryeh Levine explains as follows. It's tremendous. There are different relationships in the world. There's a relationship of child-parent and the relationship of husband and wife, or owner and object. The relationship of child to parent can never be severed. That's our relationship to mitzvos. Ben or bat mitzvah, bar mitzvah. You are always a child of a mitzvah, meaning no matter how far you seem to stray, just like you're always a child to those parents, no matter how far a child may stray from the home, you can't change your biology. You were born to those parents. You might want to think you want to change your biology, but you can't. And if you are a child, you can always come back. So our relationship to mitzvos is bar or bat mitzvah, bar or ben or bas mitzvah, means that because I am a child to a mitzvah, I can always come back, no matter how far I strayed. Why do we say we are Baal Avera? So to mitzvahs, we're always connected, no matter what it seems like on the surface. No matter how far the ship veered off course, go back to the article from Rabbi Tversky. No matter how far the ship veered off course, I can always come back. But when it comes to Averos, the fact that we call ourselves a Baal Avera shows we can sever the relationship with an Avera. How? Baal means owner. I could be the owner of this pen, and now I could gift it to you. I can't use the example of selling, because I don't think anyone would do that. I don't know. Maybe some people would. It's a cheap pen, not a, you know, a $500 fountain pen. I could gift you the pen and say, I don't own it anymore. So what can an owner do to an object? Disassociate. Separate. This object is no longer mine. That's what we could do to Avera. So what could we say about an Avera? I'm a Baal Avera. I may own the Avera, but just like an owner can sell his home, sell his boat, sell his pen, sell his jewelry. And once you sell it to someone else, you're not connected to anymore. So when it comes to an Avera, I'm a Baal Avera. I could disconnect. Or a Baal means a husband. Sometimes a relationship doesn't work out. And a husband can divorce, or a wife can divorce her spouse. In both interpretations of Baal, whether it's owner or husband, you can disassociate, cut yourself off from that relationship. So what does that teach us? When it comes to Averos, when it comes to sin, we are only a Baal Avera. You can always divorce the sin. You can always, so to speak, get rid of that object. And you say, I'm not the owner anymore. This is Hefker. It does not belong to me. All the chametz in my possession that I don't know about is Hefker. It's not mine anymore. I'm not a Baal chametz. I don't even know about the chametz. I declared it Hefker. It's not mine. On the last Yom Kippur of her life, Rabbitson Kanievsky, Allah Hashem, had two bottles of grape juice. And one was for all the people who came into the house, and the other one was for her, because she said she needed something to drink so she would have the strength to fast on Yom Kippurim. And all the people who had come into the house were making headway into the second bottle of grape juice. So her daughter said, Ima, should we put a sticker that says this is reserved for the Rabbitson? So she said, Ma pitom. So Rabbitson Kanievsky, Allah Hashem, Ma pitom. That's what it says in the book. What are you talking about? You know that Abba and I never said anything is ours. She was able to divorce herself from the grape juice. If you're only a Baal Aveira, it means the Aveira is not you. Just like an owner can get rid of an object and say, it's not my object. Just like a husband and wife can divorce and say, we're no longer married. That is the reality of us and Aveiros. But when it comes to mitzvahs, we're not a Baal mitzvah. You don't hear that. You're a Ben or Bar or Bas mitzvah. What does it mean? You're always connected to the mitzvos. Even if you strayed, you can always come back, whether it's teshuva meyira, to sort of start to bring the shir full circle, or it's teshuva me'ahava. You can't say I'm distant and separate from mitzvos. You can't be. You're a ben mitzvah. You can't say that's not my father and it's not my mother. It is your father. It is your mother. Oh, you don't like them? You wish you had different parents? Too bad. That's who you were born to. You are a ben of that person. You can never change the fact that you're a ben in this crazy world. So people might think that they could change their parents. You can't. True news, you can't. That's our relationship with mitzvos. It's beautiful. It's very profound. This is brought down as a teaching of Rav Ari Levine. I've also heard of Shai Shechter say it in the name of his father, who I believe says it in the name of his grandfather. But it's brought down in the book, At Tzaddik in Our Time, in the name of Rav Aryeh Levine. So it's really an unbelievable thing to consider. It is very comforting, Nancy, that you are never disassociated. You're not a Baal Mitzvah, because you can't divorce the mitzvos, you can't divorce Torah, and you can't disown Torah. Even if you think you can't. Because a Jew is a Ben or a Bat. Why am I bringing this up? Because the author says that the strongest love in the world is that between spouses. So I just gave you this vard of Rav Aryeh Levine to prove that I don't think that's correct. The love between spouses can cease. Just like a Baal can stop being an owner, or a husband can stop being a husband. We just read about it in the parasha. You can give a divorce. There's room in halacha. But a child can never cease the relationship with Hashem. I'm actually going to quote from Constant Connection. And how does it relate to our shir? It relates beautifully to the beginning of our shir. We started talking about Rav Meir Tursky and this concept of teshuvah. Don't wait till Rosh Chodesh El to say, oh, now I have to do teshuvah. Teshuvah is a mitzvah that is always relevant. It's the perennial. It's like the hyacinth. It's going to keep coming back. It's always there. It's not an annual. It's not seasonal. You don't do it 40 days a year. And then, Motzei Yom Kippur, I'm finished. Thank you very much. The goal is, though, to try and fuse teshuvah meyira with teshuvah mehava. Okay, 1 second. We are also shomeres or shomer Torah mitzvos, like a keeper or guard of Torah mitzvos. Parents guard or watch their children. So you're a shomer Shabbos, shomer Torah mitzvos. Very nice. Just like a parent is a shomer over their children. And at any age, a parent still feels the duties of parenthood, no matter how old the parent is and how old the child is, as long as everyone, Be'ezras Hashem, keeps our faculties. So just like a parent is a shomer over the child, we are shomer Torah mitzvahs. Very nice. Ba'al kas. You can calm down. You don't have to be controlled by anger. Okay, so that would relate to aveira. Just substitute kas for aveira, because kas is kilo oved avodah zara. You lose control. You have to be careful not to allow ourselves to become that Baal. Because just like it's hard to sell your ownership, and just like it's hard to get a divorce, it's hard to cut yourself off from an Aveira. It could be done. But it takes a lot of work. It's not easy. Which is why Rav Tversky, quoting the Mesillas Yesharim, says, you got to keep the boat on course. Do a daily check of where I'm sailing. You wait the whole year and you come to Eli, you say, now I have to check the ship. It's by the Bermuda Triangle. So I didn't start learning through this. I just read the first paragraph, the first couple of paragraphs of the fifth constant mitzvah, which is la'ahavo, to love Hashem. I'm quoting from the Sefer called Constant Connection, based on the teachings of Rav Noah Chaimik Zatzal, compiled by Rav Yitzchak Coopersmith, who the book that I'm reading talks a lot about. Oyvei, I see the time. Oh, gosh. Okay, let me just finish, because loving Hashem is the purpose of life and the overall goal of the six constant mitzvos. Loving Hashem is the purpose of life. And it is the goal of the six constant mitzvahs. So you see how high of a degree it is to have a Havas Hashem. All the other mitzvahs, the goal is to bring us to the point of love of God. Every business has an ultimate goal. And each employee understands that his overall success is measured according to his contribution to achieving the goal. So in a company, everyone has different jobs to do, but all of your jobs and all the different tasks that are done and run in the company are really to reach the main goal. Our goal in life is to love Hashem. That's our goal. And therefore, our success is judged by the degree to which we succeed in attaining this goal. Our goal in life is to love the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore everything that we should be doing, including teshuva, should be motivated by the purpose of Ahavas Hashem. And we can always come back. And even if it seems we're distant, we are always the ben or the bas, the bar mitzvah. And as far off course as the ship went, it could be very hard. But with great willpower, it can be done. Shall be zocha, this time period of this year, to not only return to shuva, to be chozer b'tshuva meyira, but to imbue into ourselves the reminder that right after Yom Kippur comes Sukkos, the love of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that should motivate us always to teshuva me'ahava. Thank you all very much, everybody. Any other questions?